Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'll start. Hey, Hop, I'm not asking you to give away any like trade secrets or anything like that, but
there's none of those.
Well, yes, there are. Come on. But with Oregon, and these, I don't have it in front of me, but they're like, what, 2-4 or something like that in their past six games. Anything you're seeing with them that's maybe some slippage, something that you can take advantage of?
You know what? Obviously, how they shoot the ball is a big deal. But they're so dangerous. You know, they're fighting, you know, stay alive to get a bid. And so they're going to be, you know, full strength mentally, physically, to try to get a win. And that's the thing with them is some days they have this incredible energy and sometimes they don't. And, you know, that's college basketball in general. So I think that's unpredictable. But in this case, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, they're going to be at level 5 of out of 5 in terms of energy and importance of game.
You know, in the games that you've played them, their size has kind of come to the forefront. It did the last time that you played them. How can you disrupt that at all?
Well, biggest thing, they started off, they came out, you know, throwing haymakers and made shots and played at a fast pace. I mean, that's what they do. They try to disrupt on the defensive end. They want to play fast. They'll overplay, play physical, make you catch it far away from the basket. Those are things that you can't let happen if you want to beat Oregon.
Mm-hmm. I would be remiss if I didn't ask about Tajon Davis, his status.
Same thing day to day. You know, we'll see a little bit later today in practice to see how he's feeling. Obviously couldn't go last night, getting some treatment today. And, you know, we'll know more probably later today, practice.
Is it ever that, you know, anything that just knowing that he has that bad shoulder can like you tell him, you know, to play maybe less of himself, like maybe don't dive for stuff and don't run into screens or is that not even a thing? Because
that's just how, you know what, Percy, that's just how he plays. Like the one thing is he's showing a lot of toughness by going out there and competing and playing. You know, he can't play any way different. Like if he's going to go play, he's going to go play. And unfortunately, it was two of those drives. You know, the first one got him a little bit. The second one, it was just, you know, they wore on it and fell on it pretty hard. And, you know, it's, as the doctors say, just really, really painful. And, you know, just hopefully it feels a little bit better today and feels great on Thursday.
And then obviously without him, that forces you to go to your bench. That then turns things to a guy like Cole. He's had two good games for the season. How, you know, I don't know how to answer, but just how do you get more from him? Just what's going on with Cole?
You know what? He's just, you know, he's had some great moments, just like shooters. And, you know, you have some cold moments. But him being out there, you got to defend him. He spaces the floor. You know, him and PJ kind of, you know, take up the Dejon role out there. And, you know, when those guys play well, like they did against Arizona State with the first game that that Dejon wasn't there, you know, they were key in terms of us winning. We need them to make shots. We need them to be aggressive offensively. And, and obviously on the defensive end, know what they're doing. So, you know, they just got to step up. They've shown signs. It just goes back to with guys. The consistency is what they're missing, but they've definitely shown signs that can really help us win. And we're going to need it on Thursday and Saturday.
I hear you. All right, Hop. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, go ahead.
Mike, I was just curious about Jackson Grant. You know, when young guys come into college, the college level, they usually struggle on defense. Seems like his transition has been tougher on offense. Could you sum up his progress so far?
I think, Dan, great question. I think a little bit both. I thought he had some really good moments, learning a new system, learning new defense. When he got hit with COVID, I think he lost 10 or 15 pounds. I thought he was hit pretty hard with that. And, I think more so for me, it's more on the defensive end. You're starting to play some of these, more physical teams. You get the duck-ins, those types of things. And if that's where I thought the difference needs to be, and that's where even when Nate's out of the game, you kind of can feel a difference in your team. So we need both him and Riley to be really good defensively to know we're not going to drop off there. Offensively, I feel comfortable with him making foul shots, looking to finish around the basket. And it's hard when you didn't play for four or five games and then you're thrown out there against UCLA like I put them. It's a hard thing to do. But he's a high-level player that just needs to keep getting better. And usually when freshmen play at this level, it's usually, the speed and strength of the game. Other McDonald's All-Americans in our league, Peyton Watson's playing sparingly for UCLA. Nathan Biddle at Oregon is not playing. It's a big transition. And so, he'll get there. Kid works his tail off.
Besides getting ill, how has he handled it? Having to deal with maybe being humbled a little bit.
I think it's hard. I mean, he's a humble guy as it is. I think it's more so rebuilding that belief and confidence in what you have to do and being able to go and give us 2, 3, 4 minutes right off the get-go. I was a player, that would, sophomore year per se, freshman, sophomore year when I started playing, it's hard to, it's hard when you don't know when you're going to go in. It's hard, the level. So you got to build that. We got to build that confidence so he knows he can go out there and do it. And it's hard even right now because there's not a lot of practices because of, we're playing so many games. And so we're going to have to watch film and then we're going to have to show them. And those are the types of things that we've been working on. I mean, Coach Jones works with him every day and he's showing a lot of good signs. Just needs to translate a little bit better on the defensive end.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Hop. Good to see you.
Nice to see you too, Chris.
Hey, I apologize in advance for the kind of the long range question.
No worries.
But, when you first came to Montlake, you really talked about the zone in terms of it being your secret weapon because mm-hmm. of the success that you had yeah. at Syracuse. Given how the changes in the game, do you feel as strongly about the zone as you did when you got here?
You know what? I do. I do. We got really good at it. If you remember, even our first year, we were bad at it, and then we got good at it in league. We had the Virginia Tech onslaught early on in Madison Square Garden. We struggled. The difference was we were able to win some of those games because we were, Noah Dickerson and Jalen Noel. We were pretty good offensively, and so it allowed us a little bit more margin for error. And then, year three with Isaiah and, a lot of new faces. And so we're still, I think we ended up third in the league or fourth in the league in defensive efficiency with brand new guys. But the difference when you saw a group of guys that we were able to keep together for 2 years, and that's where you saw it really being elite. Last year, our personnel, I don't think, really fit what we did as well as being new. And then we got a new set of group of guys this year. We've been inconsistent, but we've had really good moments, just like we have offensively and defensively. But the more obviously that you can play it, and the guys get more reps at it, you're obviously going to get that experience and become better.
Yeah. You kind of pointed to it a little bit because while you guys weren't great to start, you had the veteran team with the Crisps and the Matisses and those guys to be able to kind of overcome because they were veteran guys. I just was curious with the portal and the roster turnover.
Yeah.
Can you feel as confident that you can impart the zone and the way that you need to kind of get it going quicker than man?
You know what, Chris, I do. You know, what's interesting is like, even with this team, you know, we obviously had four kids from really good man-to-man programs that transferred in. They felt, you know, you're kind of, you know, a lot of it is similar. I mean, good defense, it's all about the team. It's you're moving when the ball's in the air. You've got to play a position. A couple of things are different that you got to be able to adapt and adjust, and that's been a little bit hard. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, our players were saying, can we play more man? And later in the year, they were saying, can we play more zone? The thing that we've done a lot more this year, especially and last year, is we've made it more of a hybrid. We played more matchup. We played more man. We've pressed more. And that, you know, you're just finding every game is going to be a little bit different. I believed even last night, I thought I made a mistake. We were able to get the lead in our match, and they started exposing the mismatches and posting us up, and we got in foul trouble, and I should have went back to the zone, which I thought could have been a difference maker to at least throw them a little bit of a off-speed pitch, playing both. But I'm not set in the zone. I'm set on what's going to be our best opportunity to win. And that's why you've seen more, flexibility, adaptability with the way that we've defended.
And I guess ultimately last question about the zone is how much do you have to recruit to it now, especially given the experience that you guys had last year, kind of knowing that maybe in hindsight, it wasn't the best fit in terms of trying to do what you wanted to do defensively to start. Yeah. Are you really kind of thinking zone when you're recruiting more, or what kinds of things defensively are you thinking of when you recruit?
I think obviously it matters, but good defenders are good defenders. You know, Matisse Thybul was a good man defender. They didn't have a great defense before we came, but he was a steal leader. And the zone fit him perfect, and he adapted well. I think the difference with those teams a little bit is they matched. They were, you know, the one thing we were able to score, and so we didn't put so much pressure on your defense. You know, and so, even some of our zone stuff this year, and it's funny asking Quincy Pondexter and some of the staff, they'd be like, I can't believe the amount of turnovers that we create playing in the zone and how disruptive we can be. So, you know, it's like, you know, in a perfect world, you'd sit here and say, God, I wish this team was coming back next year, everybody the same and the level that we could get to. But you recruit good defensive players that they'll adapt to anything. That's also the IQ part. But that's yes. Yes, yes, and yes, Chris. That was a long
thanks, Hop. I appreciate it.
Hope I didn't like scramble your eggs right there. Perfect. I apologize, but that's I hope I answered it.
Dan, go ahead.
Mike, it seems like there's a lot going on with the NBA Huskies out there, guys that you coached and didn't coach, but still are part of the program. Have you had a chance to even glance at that and see that, you know, Markelle Fultz is back, McDaniels and Stewart are finishing strong, Thybul is a starter, even Isaiah Thomas is still trying to get his health back, and I think he's in the G League right now. Do you notice any of that?
You know what? I am the luckiest coach on earth, because I have Will Conroy and Quincy Pondexter. Will Conroy, I think, watches every NBA game known to man. He's constantly watching games, coaching our players. And so I'm constantly getting, you know, every day it's like, man, Jaden McDaniels last night, he had 12 early in the first half. Isaiah Stewart, obviously IT had a big game the other night. So it's just a lot of fun. DeJounte making the All-Star team. Seeing Isaiah and all his hard work and, you know, being in our gym all year, working with our players and just watching his grind, incredible role model. It's just a lot of fun to see the success of all the Huskies and, seeing Matisse, and now they got James Harden, and they were showing this highlights. You know, I'll watch SportsCenter, you know, we're more watching our competition and doing that, but I get constant updates from Will and Quincy, and we're obviously so proud.
Percy, go ahead.
Hey, Hop, can I get a thought or two? And, you know, obviously we've asked you this all season long about Terrell and his scoring, but he's near the end here, and he scored at least in double figures in every game for you guys. Last time a Pac-12 player did that, I want to say, was Trace Tinkle, his senior year. I can't even remember the last time a Husky did that. Just from your point of view, just what has impressed you about particularly his scoring?
He's an old school throwback. He's an Iron Man. He never gets tired. He's on a relentless attack at all times on both ends of the floor. He's dependable. He knows what he's really good at. Like Jalen Noel, he has a go-to. He knows how to get to his pull-up and set it up. And his work ethic. I mean, it's just everything about him. He's going to be just successful in life because it's all about hard work and belief and learning. I mean, he's constantly watching film. He's constantly asking, coaches this and that. He's become a really, we've had him for 1 year, but he's been a great leader, talking, helping building his teammates around him. And I tell him all the time, feel really blessed that, had the opportunity to coach him, even was for a year, to be around him. And, part of this year was reestablishing who we are and what we're about in terms of culture. And there's no other player that you'd want to build it around. A guy like Terrell Brown. I mean, all hard work, all toughness, all made through the things that you've been taught since as a kid: hard work, listen, learn, humble, give. And he's just incredible.
Any idea as to where he's going to rank and how he's going to be remembered? Obviously, if you guys had more success, it would have been like a Jalen type of a situation, and he would be a shoe-in Pac-12 player of the year because your record is sort of what it is. He's not really in those conversations now. So I'm wondering, where is he going to rank and how is he going to be remembered?
Well, I think he's going to be remembered as a kid that didn't have a Division I scholarship and became an all-league Pac-12 player and one of the best guards in the country. A guy who decided, he went to Seattle U and then decided to come back after being to Arizona, loving the University of Washington. And, we have a winning record in the league, and obviously we wish we had you can't look backwards. We just, wish we could have had a couple of those early ones back. But a guy who has given a lot to the school, has given a lot to the program. Obviously, we wish we had, we had won the league, but being in the top upper echelon of the league and having two games left and having 9 wins, if we win 10 or we win 11, if we won 11, it would be the second most wins that we've had in 5 years in the league. If we win 10, it would be tied for the second most. And after the last couple of years of only winning 5, he's kind of breathed a new life and being a local kid into University of Washington. So he'll be remembered for that. And that's a lot of pride for him, I know. And a lot of pride for the city and a lot of pride for us.
And I understand that you have a game on Thursday, but any idea as to what senior night will look like for you guys on Saturday? Just how many kids are going to participate? I mean, because with the whole NCAA stuff, you don't know who's coming back and all that stuff.
I think we're going to honor all seniors and participate, even if they're coming back. It's just the way it is. I was watching our women's game versus Stanford, and Russell Wilson's sister, I think that they said that was her second or third senior night. I think that's what's going to happen in college sports. You're going to see that along the lines. It's a great day to be. It's just a great day for. I was thinking about like Nate Roberts the other day, and I'm like, he came in, he started skinny, and he turned into the Incredible Hulk. He started off an okay student, and he became an honor roll student. He became a guy who was quiet and turned into an incredible leader who's started to really understand his voice and you know, how smart he is and how deep he is. A guy who's just given everything he's had. And so when you see the growth of those guys, it's great to get honored by your hometown fans. You know, it's a pretty special day, emotional day, but special.
With how much the team has transferred just from last year to this year, knowing what college basketball is about with the transfer portal, is it that feeling of you don't know, you know, if these guys are going to be together? So, you know, like this group and just try to cherish that.
Yes, Percy, you just got to cherish every moment. I mean, think about what's going on in the world. Think about, you know, there's just even getting older and having a mom and dad who, you know, you go through it. Life is tough. You got to enjoy the moments. You got to enjoy the people that you're around. I've said, I think in the last press conference, like, I love coaching this group. You know, when you go to work every day and you love who you work with, and then you love who you work for, and then you love who you coach, kids that you know, want to learn, they're unselfish, they're grateful. They're professional. You know, we might not have won as many as we wanted to, and obviously there's still a lot of season left, but, you know, in retrospect, and that's sometimes you get that when you go into that senior weekend, but love these guys. You know, I just wish we could have, you know, could have coached a couple of these guys a few more years for sure.
There you go. All right, Hop. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, Hop. I did have a Terrell Rob Brown question, real quick, and I hope I phrase this the right way because it may seem counterintuitive. Because we all have seen moments where guys get the hot hand, and you want to feed them, and you want to keep them going, you want to keep them shooting until they miss, that kind of thing. But have you seen from time to time the offense become over reliant on Terrell? It's strange as that may sound. I mean, is it? It feels like there are guys that are more than willing to defer and let him kind of shoulder the load. Has that been an issue?
I don't think it's been an issue. I think, you know, losing Dejan, you know, forced him to have to do a lot more. But, you know, you think about a couple of these games, the Arizona State game, I mean, 9 assists, 8 assists, just picking things apart and the ability to score. And Terrell's trying to win. That's the one thing I love about him, respect about him. You know, sometimes, you know, he feels and we feel that he needs to step up and do it. And, you know, obviously our offense can be better. I think it's in kind of crazy. This is crazy. But like this year, it's been our best offensive efficiency since we've been here in terms of ranking in the league, which has been a good thing. And Terrell's been a big part of that success. Having a guy with the ability to go create a shot and get to a shot, shooting great percentages. He's got a good assist to turnover ratio. You know, what else can you ask for? And the guys become a dream come true. Nobody's perfect. Does he take a couple bad shots? Yes, but we need him to take bad shots because that gives him the ability to make the big shots. And that's always been my belief with a player like Terrell.
The will to win, obviously, something you've mentioned from time to time. It's pretty evident. How much do you feel like that's rubbed off on the rest of the team?
I think great. That's another thing is how close these guys have become. And a couple of them have just been with 1 year with each other. And that's been a lot of fun to see as a coach and seeing these guys develop and grow. And Terrell's toughness definitely rubs off. I think, watching Dejon Davis, playing with his shoulder and just trying to help the team win. You know, I asked him the other day after he played against Washington State, I'm like, are you feeling better? You don't want to go back in the starting line? He's like, no, coach, keep playing PJ. I'll be there for you. You know, who says that? Kids don't say that. We got a group that's unselfish. We got a team that wants to win. They play to win. Could we be tougher in certain situations? Of course. But these kids compete. They compete to win. And they're just an unbelievable group. I'm so proud of them.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.